Welcome to the Intentional Mind Podcast. I'm your host, Angela Barnard. This is a show about intentionally designing your life, using the power of your mind, faith, and energy. We know all creation starts in the mind. And if you don't have what it is you want, your mind has something to do with it. So we start there, in the mind. Each week, I'll bring you an inspiring story and strategies that you can use to stop playing small and start being that person you're meant to be. So if you're ready for a more fun and fulfilling life, listen up. Hey, I'm so happy that you're here. And I want you to know that the way that this audio might be sounding right now is not how this episode is going to go. So what happened was I am out working. I'm playing a fake broadcast journalist for this exercise that I'm doing with the military. We're training for a natural disaster. And it's been long days. And I have been trying to get all my podcast episodes together because I've been away from home for a bit. And it's just been rough, guys, just keeping it real. I am in a hotel room that has this really weird background noise, and I've been working like 12 plus hour days, and it's just been a little rough. So I recorded my whole episode for you on strategies to program your mind, which I was so excited about. But when I listened to the audio, I'm like, this is not going to be the kind of content as far as the quality of the audio that I want to share with you, because I want you to really want to listen to the content. And when the audio is kind of like sketch and stuff, you don't really want to listen. And I totally respect that. And I want to respect you and your time and your ears. So what I decided to do instead was to play back an episode that I recorded a while back on manifesting. It's one of my favorite topics to talk about. In fact, all of December's episode, so at the time that I'm recording this, it's October, but in December's episode, it's going to be all about manifesting and visioning and all of that. So if you're interested in learning more about how you can manifest some of the things that have been on your heart, and how to really understand manifesting so it's not like, oh, it's this weird woo-woo thing. Like, I kind of break it down for you where you're like, yeah, I get that and I do that. All right, so that's what this episode is about. So let's get on with the show. So my personal definition of manifesting is your ability to bring things into your life based on what you're thinking, like you're visioning, imagining in your mind, what you're saying, and how you're feeling. I believe that is you manifesting. So all of us have been in a situation where we thought about something and then all of a sudden it kind of shows up in our life. Maybe you thought about someone, you haven't talked to them in a very long time, and out of the blue they text you or they call you and you're like, oh my gosh, I was just thinking about you. Or the best example that you've heard, I'm sure, someone say is when you want to buy a new car. And all of a sudden, you start to see the car that you want all over the place after you went shopping or after you went to get that car, right? And you're like, what? I never seen all these cars before. Well, that has to do with some neuroscience. There's some brain stuff happening there. Now your reticular activating system is letting stuff in so that you do see opportunity. But I don't want this episode yet to get into that so much. I just want to make it very simple and talk about manifesting as a whole. So I think there's neuroscience that supports it. But there's also a big faith component. Like biblically, there's so much biblical wisdom around your ability to bring things into your life based on your thoughts and your words. It's so interesting to me because I think a lot of times people can act like manifesting is like such this off the wall woo-woo thing, and it's not. I just want to share a story with you about how I've manifested something in my life. I have a gazillion stories, but I'm just going to pick one of my favorite ones to share. I got my own house. I was living in West Michigan, and I was like, this is my time to get the pig that I want. And I want him to live in the house with me. And so I got Wally, and I had Wally for 3 years. And during this time, I discovered that it wasn't a very good idea to have a pig in the house because part of their mental health is to like push their root their nose into the ground and in the dirt. And I didn't do enough research on this. I wish I would have, but I didn't. And pigs are so smart. They have the mentality of a three-year-old. And they can get into all kinds of stuff. And they need to be very much like socialized. And I was working. And thank God for my roommate, who was so awesome. And just was home to like really spend a lot of time with Wally. And anyways, 3 years goes by. And I know that this is not a good idea anymore. Like, to take Wally, I know that he needed to go in an environment where he could root in the dirt and just be a pig. But, you know, he already lived in the house. He wasn't going to be like some normal farm pig, right? Someone needed to understand how to take care of him. He slept in the bed with me and all of that. So there was a lot of guilt that I had around like where he was going to go. And I didn't want to just give him to anybody. And it was so hard. Like, I was even afraid though, like if I had a fire, what would I do? Like, how would I get him out? Because he was so smart. This guy wouldn't even go. Like, I thought he was, in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to be able to travel with this pig, right? No. He's so smart that he won't get into, like, a little traveling case thing. Like, he wasn't going to do that because he's smart enough not to. And if you've ever heard a pig scream, it is so piercing to the ears. And it was just to this point, I'm like, I can't even transport him if he needs vet care. Like, what am I doing? This is not a good situation. So I'm like, I got to find somewhere for Wally. And I was like, I'm going to write down all the things that I would want for Wally. Like, if I could just like dream it up, you know, what would I ideally have for him? And I wrote it down. I gave myself permission to dream about what that could be for him. And right away, when I started writing it down, my brain was like, that ain't going to be possible. Yeah, right. That ain't going to happen. You know, like that voice in your head that tells you like that, that makes you doubt it. So I was like, no, I ain't listening to you. All right, Lucy, go back. Okay, anyways, guys, I think that you should name your inner critic. That can be another episode. I actually used to teach a workshop on that. Tame your inner critic. Can we name it? All right, I'm going to interject real quick. Because I know that when you start dreaming of what it is that you want, that voice shows up and it tells you all the reasons why that's not possible for you. Maybe that could happen for someone else, but not for you. Or it starts to find evidence of how that can be. So in this scenario, what happened? I remember that day I was writing all of this down and all the thoughts that were popping in my mind. The first thought was, oh, well, if there was a nonprofit that did that, wouldn't you already know about it? Since you do so much work in the community and with nonprofits, wouldn't you know? And it'd be close to your house. Like, wouldn't you realize that something was close to your house? So that kind of chatter shows up. And, oh, and you only have a couple weeks to figure this out. How on earth would all of that happen? Like, these are the thoughts that were coming into mind. So
I wrote down, Wally is living at a nonprofit farm where children with special needs come and visit on a regular basis. And he's happy and he's well-loved. And the family there knows how to take care of him very well. And this place is fairly close to my house. And I get to be a part of his life still, and I can come and visit, and I feel comfortable being around the family and supporting the farm, something like that. So I vision this while I'm like eating my lunch, because I put this, you know, in my lunch bag, and I was reading it and stuff like that. And I did this for like about a week, and I end up having a meeting with someone I used to work with, and she had just started working with this new organization who had this beautiful new building, and around this beautiful new building that they actually used for church activities, there were homes where people with special needs had lived. I was really excited about like going there and visiting and seeing this place. And we did a tour. We were talking about ways that we can work together or different organizations. And I told her about Wally, and she's like, oh, maybe we could take Wally. And so for a moment there, I was so excited because I thought that this was the place for Wally. Like, what? This is close to my house. This checks all of my boxes, or so I thought. And then they came back and was like, we actually can't take him. We don't know really what we do for him. We've never had a pig.
So I remember freaking out because I'm like, I only have this short amount of time, and he's supposed to, like, in my mind, it's like he could have been at this place and he would love it in this short period of time. Like, how on earth is this going to happen? And I remember talking to one of my roommates, and she said, okay, you always preach to believe for more, that anything is possible. So in this moment, What if you did that? What if you believed for more? What if you just kept believing? And then, and like you say, like you always say, Ange, I love when people use my own stuff back on me because, you know, like I need this information. Rejection is God's protection, right? And if the door closes, it's only because there's something better coming along, because your favorite thing to say is everything is happening for you. So she kind of like dished this back in my face and I was like, yeah, you're right. And I went back to work and I kept believing, like looking at my little lunch bag every day, pulling that little thing out that said Wally is, as if he already was, reading it to myself for the next few days. Then that's when the girl got back to me and had told me about this other place. Okay.
So she said to me, you know, I know we can't take Wally, but I do know of someone who has a pig that actually looks like Wally. And there, it's a farm where people with special needs go and visit often. And here's her Facebook. So I go and I click on her Facebook and I see this, that this lady has a pig named Petunia. And I was like, Petunia, that name sounds so familiar to me. And I was looking at her pig and I'm like, oh my gosh, her pig looks, really does look like Wally, because Wally's a Juliana pig. It's like this spotted breed of a pig that he has papers that he comes with. I think his dad's from England or something like that. Like it's like weird, like people who want these special pigs get them, right? They're registered. So anyways, same kind of pig as Wally. And I'm like, I've seen that pig. And I was like, yeah, I feel like I've seen that pig when I was going to get Wally, like on the breeder page or something. So I noticed that me and this girl have one friend in common, and that is our breeder.
So little Miss Petunia is actually Wally's sister.
So I message her. I'm like so excited. And I tell her, share the story about Wally and everything. And, you know, she's getting messages all the time from people that are wanting to give her animals because her farm is just so beautiful, so peaceful. And she obviously can't take in every animal. And so at first she's like, you know, I wish I could take him, but I can't, because she truly just did not have additional space. And I was like, okay, this is when I went my own little shift to crazy mode, because I was like, look, I don't know what it is you believe in, but I 100% without a doubt believe he's supposed to be with you, right? So I'm thinking like, okay, restraining order time, you're a weirdo, like, right? No, Cheryl is amazing. That's her name. And she's like, you know, let's meet up and maybe we can brainstorm ideas. So I come to her house, absolutely like connect with her because she's just a beautiful soul. And we both realized quickly that we're both like crazy pig people. And she did the same thing with Petunia. She brought her in the house and realized that after having her in the house for a while, that wasn't a good idea. So they ended up having to make the transition to have her outside. She's like, okay, let's do a tour. Went in the barn and she's like, we could have him go here, but there's nowhere for him to go. Like, I don't have a cage or anything. Like, I would need a cage right here and I don't have the ability to have a cage. And I'm like in crunch time mode here, because little did I know, my boyfriend at the time was about to propose to me this upcoming weekend, and I had to be at the surprise proposal, which I had no idea was happening. So if I don't have a place for Wally, right, then I don't get to be at the surprise proposal and all this stuff. So anyways, all this stuff needed to come in sync. So I was thinking in my mind, you know, like I know someone that could build a cage. And I was like, my dad could. Like my dad builds things. But, you know, I didn't talk to my dad as much as I would like. I had been praying that I had a better relationship with him. And I was like, well, let me talk to my dad and see if maybe he could build a cage right here. And so I call my dad and I'm like, Dad, can you build a cage for Wally? And he's like, yeah, of course. I'll get up right on it. I'm like, I mean, you got it fast. Like, I only have a couple days here before I have to leave. And Wally needed somewhere to go because I was going to be gone for a while. And my roommate wasn't around who was going to be watching him. So anyways, and my dad's like, yeah, I'll get right on it. And I'm like, who are you? He's like, never responded like that. Well, turns out my boyfriend at the time, who's now my husband, had said that he wanted to marry me. And he asked for his, you know, permission to marry me. And he knew that my dad was going to be at the surprise proposal. So he knew that if Wally didn't have somewhere to go, like this cage wasn't done for him, I wouldn't be at the surprise proposal. So all these hands kind of like came together and he made this cage. And it was really great because I got to connect with my dad as he built the cage. And we really got to talk about just some hard stuff that we've experienced in our life with my mom leaving and just, you know, just a lot of stuff. And it was really great to like improve our relationship. So Wally ended up moving to this farm, and I cried. It was so hard for me. I felt so guilty. So Ian, my husband now, stayed in the barn with me overnight. We like actually slept on straw to watch Wally wake up for the first time so he wouldn't be scared and he would see me. So he wakes up. He's totally fine. And Cheryl's like, can we let Wally out just to see how he might do? And there's this very cute little girl that was drinking a purple slushie. And I'm like, oh, crap. Wally's going to like try to get that slushie. Very food focused, pigs are. And I let him out and he didn't even bother the little girl. He like walked over and like stepped over this ledge. And I was like, wait, what? I thought for sure he wasn't even going to come out, because for years I've been trying to get him to step on the balcony to come outside and see these little kids that used to like poke at him at the window and like try to see him and stuff like that. And he never would, because he was so afraid of stepping over the ledge. And he just stepped over it like wasn't a thing. This ledge and this cage. Walked out, smelling the air, turned around, walked back in his cage, curled up in his blanket. Pigs love blankets. He wrapped himself in it, in a straw, and went to sleep like he was meant to be there. It was so crazy. And he loved it. And he still loves it. So after that, I had built a good relationship with the farm, and I have a background in nonprofit administration. So I was able to help turn the farm into an official nonprofit, because at the time it was just, you know, offering activities, but wasn't like legit. So now it's a 501c3, which is a big deal, federally exempt in the nonprofit world. And I ended up starting this fundraiser where I taught yoga with goats. They have goats there and people come out and do this yoga. And there's other yoga teachers that keep carrying on this tradition and helping raise funds for the farm and what they do. It's called Fell in Love Farm. You can research it. It's such a sweet place. There's llamas. There's zebu. They dress the horses up like unicorns. They like mermaids. They have like this huge pond and little kids dress up as mermaids. And there's just so, it's so great, guys. And it's the best thing for Wally. And I even remember thinking that no one's going to want Wally because he like bites. Like he at the time, yeah. Anyways, I taught that bad habit for him because he used to like want popcorn. And my roommate would like, he would like nip her toes and she'd give him popcorn. And then he learned like, oh, I can bite and get things, you know, which is not the best thing, but anyways, he's doing really well now and kids love him. He's great. But I used to think that like no one's going to want him because like how could he even be around kids? How could he even be around people with special needs if he's going to like do some stuff like that?
And it was interesting because the tusks were actually something that I was really worried about. But the kids enjoyed seeing them and learning about the tusks. And it's just so interesting how God can turn something that we think it's bad into something that is good. Like that's how he works. And I would love to see more people have the kind of faith where they believe that anything is possible and they allow themselves to dream for more because they know that the how of it, that's usually what traps people. It's like, I want this thing, but I have no idea how this could possibly happen. That how of it is not all up to you, because that's on God, right? Yeah, you need to take action, and I believe that he wants to see that, but it's not all up to you. It never has been, and it never will be. So you are free to dream and believe for whatever it is that your heart desires, and just be open to it being better than you imagined. Be the kind of person that is an example of what's possible when you believe. Now, a fun exercise that you can do is to write down what it is that you desire as if it already is. Just like I wrote down what I desired for Wally. I said, Wally is, and I described all of it as if it already was. Now, there's a lot of biblical wisdom around this, like believing that you have received it and it will be yours. And then the whole ask, believe, receive. I believe that asking is really about producing the feeling. And if you imagine something, you produce that feeling. So think of the feelings as the language that communicates. I can explain that more later, but just to get started, just write down what it is you desire and act as if it already is. That is a practice that you can implement from this episode. Sometimes Ian and I will even play this game where I say, it's a year from now and everything is working out the way that you want. Tell me what's happening. And he talks about it as if it is happening. And I can tell you some of the things that we have talked about, big things that we thought would never happen in our rational mind, have came true, have come to be in ways above and beyond what we can imagine. I know there is truth to this work. I have seen it play out in my own life. And I know that you are a powerful manifester and you're already manifesting things in your life. The question is, are you doing it with intention? If you got some awesome manifesting stories, then we want to hear about it. In December, all the episodes will be about visioning, manifesting, and all of that. And you have a story that is awesome, please tell us so we can share it with people or come on the podcast. You can find me over on Instagram at Intentional Mind Podcast. Message me, leave a review. If you haven't done that, share with a friend. Have an awesome week. Talk to you soon.